This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're focusing on the neat gadgets for some of the early NES games. From 1985, we're playing Duck Hunt with the Nintendo Zapper, and from 1988, we have the Nintendo rebranded World Class Track Meet with the Power Pad. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is regular co-host and running machine, it's Todd Brisket.
Of all the peripherals on the NES, the Power Pad and the Zapper are two of them.
It's a very definitive and correct statement. And our other co-host, he bought his Zapper from Whole Foods. It's Huell Hauser.
Steve, I'm in unnecessary add-on heaven.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need to buy an original copy of Stadium Events, which will run us about $35,000.
What?
Yeah.
That was a steal.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Today's games are Duck Hunt from 1985 and World Class Track Meet from 1988. If you bought an NES in the 1980s, there's a good chance you received two games when doing so. Super Mario Brothers, the standard pack-in, and Duck Hunt, a shooting game with a plug-in gun known as the Zapper. It was a simple game with a self-explanatory title, as you shot at ducks or clay pigeons that went across the screen. The game's only character is that damn smug laughing dog. In later years, a third game was added as a pack-in for the NES, World Class Track Meet. In 1987, Bandai came out with Stadium Events in North America, which featured a plastic mat that you ran on to compete in running events. Nintendo purchased the game and repackaged it as World Class Track Meet with the Power Pad in 1988. It was a fun game, the predecessor to things like Dance Dance Revolution, and it caused everything in your parents' house to shake and fall off the walls. Unfortunately, I nominated these games for coverage today because they were titles I sunk hours into as a kid.
Yeah,
partly because they were some of the few games we had, and also because I thought they were kind of fun to play with the unique controllers. But I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on them, Gaz. Why don't we start with you, Todd?
Oh, sure. So when I was a kid, my package of the NES that I got came with the Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt combination, and it blew my mind at the time because before that all I had was Intellivision, and when this one came out and it had two games on a single cartridge, my mind was blown.
Yeah, I think more than anything. That's the most mind-blowing part of this.
Yeah, when you boot it up, it takes you right to the screen where Mario's walking, and you get to choose which one you want to load. You going to load Mario Brothers, or are you going to load Duck Hunt? And in later versions, are you going to load Track Meet? One cartridge. Ooh.
I still have that one cartridge along with, I think I still have my Zapper. I'm not sure if I'm positive. I definitely still have the Power Pad. I can see my Power Pad from where I sit.
Do you? Now,
that is impressive.
Framed and hanging on the wall?
No, it's just in a box folded up, but you know, it's just a plastic pad, so I don't think it matters that much.
That would make some nice modern art.
A framed Power Pad. That's amazing. I need to see that.
I feel like it would be a little heavy. That'd be the only issue.
Yeah, it's a very sturdy plastic.
Yeah, that, and also it is a big goddamn mat. Like,
yeah, locate some studs to hang that on.
Oh yeah, I got some right here.
Oh, I mean, I don't even own a rug as big as the Power Pad. That's
okay.
Well, I mean, my apartment has carpet in it, but I don't have like a throw rug that big.
That was just an unexpected statement.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure what rugs have to do with hanging carpet.
Oh, I just meant the ownership of it.
Right.
I don't know. Guys, I don't even own a hammer. How am I going to put a Power Pad up?
How are you going to find them studs?
So it sounds like you played a little more Duck Hunt back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I actually, full disclosure here, fellas. Mm. I've never placed foot nor hand on a power pad.
This is disappointing.
I would not say so.
Well,
just from what I know about it, and I've seen plenty of. I read up on it before this episode tonight, guys. I do my homework. I watch the videos of people slapping it with their hands.
You mean the dishonorable people?
These savages.
These are the same people that grow up to lounge back on a couch while they play Wii baseball.
Right. They flick their wrists. They just while flick playing wrists, Wii yeah. golf.
They don't. They don't do the full swing.
You gotta get your back swing. You gotta get your feet planted. You gotta get the full effect.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree with you.
You're just cheating yourself.
Yeah, they never shook any books off the bookshelf or any pictures off the walls as they tried to play this in the living room. So
exactly.
By the way, that is the biggest impediment probably right now to me. I did not even think about trying to do this like in my apartment. Like there,
I feel like you should have. For the sake of the show.
There's already like a sagging 5-shelf bookshelf in my apartment. Like I can't imagine how much it would have liked me as a 180-pound man just running like as fast as I could like inside of my apartment.
Do you have downstairs neighbors?
No, I have upstairs neighbors, but
No excuse.
I mean, I suppose I could have. I don't know. Actually, damn it! Now I have an idea. I could have just like used my. I have a TV that's kind of. I could have moved it on a chair near the door, and then just put the power pad outside.
Yeah, put on a show for the people walking by.
Yeah,
yeah.
Charge money.
They would have loved it.
Come see the white man running on a 20-year-old peripheral.
I live in New England. Like that's nothing unusual. If anything, I would have been attacked by my neighbor's dog that is always out and off the leash. So that wouldn't have been so much fun. But
oh god.
Man, I'll have to try that maybe next time. Maybe when we do when we cover one of the other 7 games released for the Power Pad, we can think about that. Oh, go ahead, Yul.
I feel like you were going to ask me anyway. I do distinctly remember us having the power pad, but I can't remember if we had the zapper, which seems weird.
That does seem weird.
Yeah.
But like I feel like everyone had the zapper, so I can't remember if or I can't think if my memories are of us having it or I was at someone else's house. But I 100% know we had the pad. Mm-hmm. Because I remember following the instructions in the booklet on how to fold it back up. They were very specific. But also I remember shaking things off the walls and also using my hands to get the highest.
Was there a reason that it had to be folded up a specific way? Is it to not crease the wires or something?
I would think so, but at the same time, like they're probably like, we know these American animals are just going to like throw it into a corner and we can't be held responsible for however they treat this. So we should at least have some liability and show the right way to fold it back up.
Yeah. It might cause electrical fires or something if it's mm-hmm. folded incorrectly.
Yeah. So they got to put something in there, but like, I'm sure we had track meet. Like I'm sure that's the game it came with or whatever.
Yes.
But I also remember like a side-scrolling track game, I think.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of those.
Yeah, there must have been some other one, because that's the one I remember the most. I remember the guys like going left or right, but we're also like we're running to make it happen. So it must have been some like third-party or some other sort of track game.
Well, we could kind of skip ahead a little bit here, because I did have a...
did not mean to
throwing
the whole show off here.
Ugh.
Well, no, there's only 6 Power Pad games for North America. Mm-hmm. 4 of them were variations on running or aerobics games. So that must have been one of the ones
some other running game.
Yeah, I can go over the other ones in a second here. The The other two games, besides the running and aerobics track kind of games, there were Street Cop, a June 1989 action game where you chase down criminals.
And you beat them.
Yep. Use different numbers on the
track. You beat them with your bobby club. and in Japan, this game was called Manhattan Police or something like that.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Street Cop's an amazing name.
Yeah. Well, it feels
working like, the beat.
It feels like one of those fake shows that they would have on The Simpsons or something else.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. 30 Rock.
Yeah. Street Cop.
Starring Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to remember. What was the one that Homer Simpson starred in on The Simpsons?
The Max Power one? Or
yeah. Homer on the show changed
his name to
Max Power.
Because the guy on the show was Homer Simpson.
Yeah, they made him into a doofus.
I don't remember what the name was.
Me either, but it was something like that, like police cops.
Street cop.
The final Power Pad game was a twofer, Short Order and Explode. Released in December 1989, both were timing games, one having you defuse bombs to save chicken eggs, and the other you're filling food orders for animals, showing once again that Nintendo is trying to get humans to be subservient to beast.
You're forcing them to become cannibals, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Like, some of the orders have meat.
Force-feeding their own brethren to themselves.
You're still doing their bidding, though.
Well, enjoy this chili, Mr. Cow. Yes.
My producer's informing me that the show on The Simpsons that Homer Simpson was in was Police Cops.
Ooh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, by the way, Fox would have had much more success if they just took the concepts that were fake shows and Simpsons episodes and just made them into real shows. Like, that's got to be better than some of the crap they put on the air.
Well, the problem was, even if they'd put them on the air, they'd be canceled halfway through the first season.
Ah, good point.
Zing.
Ah.
Now, there is one more Power Pad game that came out in Japan that I want to mention. And it looks like, by theme alone, it would be the most fun.
Oh.
It is Takeshi's Castle.
Oh, my God.
They made a Power Pad video game for it.
Oh, I wish. Oh. I wish that was a game I could play.
But it does not look good. That's the unfortunate part.
Brisket, you should. Do you know what that is in America? What that was renamed as?
Yeah, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Yeah, I just wanted you to share for the audience.
Yeah, they have different events in the video game. They have sinkers and floaters. They have
oh my god,
oh!
Little animated Takeshi Kitanos and Guy Ledouche is there.
It's so good. That reminds me. I was obsessed with Nickelodeon Guts, as I'm sure most of us were.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And there was actually a Guts Super Nintendo game released, and it is god-awful.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, unfortunately.
It has nothing, almost nothing to do with the show.
Ah.
I mean, what do you do? Are you a kid floundering around that can't do anything?
No, it's like...
the TV show was.
It's like an action... like puzzle platformer, like you are a kid like going through the Guts Arena, but like the Guts Arena is like some unescapable hellscape.
Now, did they have traps? Did they have that basketball thing where you're on bungee cords?
That is actually one of the events, and that's probably the most fun. But then the second one is like this insane maze. And eventually you do get to the aggro crag, but it's even more insane than the level before it.
I mean, who didn't love the maze event in Guts? Yeah.
I don't even remember there being a maze.
That's my point. It's ridiculous.
That's the joke.
You know what would have been good is if they made a Legends of the Hidden Temple game.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because you combine trivia, you combine some teamwork...
Hear a story.
You talk to Olmec, and then you go into his temple.
That was a dream of mine to one day program a Legends of the Hidden Temple game, but it turns out I'm too lazy to even attempt it.
Apparently, it's supposed to be coming back with a movie.
Yes, yeah, it's only like a weird TV movie. Like, I was excited when I saw the headline, and I'm like, wait a second.
You know, if they rebooted the actual series, I wouldn't watch it. It's a kid's game show, you know. You have to be of the mindset of the time.
No, they'd never allow kids to be in that sort of danger anymore.
That danger.
They were
They were in a temple, Stephen. in the South American jungle.
Oh, that's true. That's where that has religion and stuff inside.
They could have been cursed just for touching the wrong statue.
Oh my god.
If they didn't put that monkey together correctly,
yeah,
who knows what could happen.
Just imagine if they didn't have the Pendants of Life.
Well, you also couldn't make a Legends of the Hidden Temple video game because there's a chance someone could win the video game. And then it wouldn't be like the show at all.
Yeah.
Oh, they won the show. Yeah. If they were deserving.
That show had the lowest win percentage of all time, of any kids game show.
Yeah. Because you had to earn it. But you can't just waltz up to the set and be like, oh, give me all the prizes. Give me a prize. Give me a trip to space camp. No, you had to win. You had to be better than the other seven teams.
Yeah, the end game was, well, that's true. That's part of it is first you have to beat everybody else, which is great. But then in the temple itself, it's skill and it's gambling. Because you don't know which door.
Yeah, a little bit of luck.
No, yeah, a little bit of luck. You don't know which door those freaks are behind, ready to grab you. Gonna grab you.
It's like Indiana Jones. I mean, sure, he was a badass, but he had luck on his side.
But by the way, according to the internet, over the series' 120 episode run, just 32 temple runs were completed successfully for a win rate of 26.7%.
Oh, come on, that's higher than you were making it out to be.
If you count like everyone, the fact that they had like six teams for each episode, only 4.8 teams for each episode?
Or was it six?
I thought it was six.
You're probably right.
They had the green barracudas.
No, the blue barracudas.
Purple monkeys.
Oh, you're way off.
They had the pink snakes.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah.
No, that is now you're just making stuff up.
Blue barracudas, red jaguars, silver snakes, green monkeys, purple parrots.
Yep.
Orange iguanas.
Yep, and that's it.
So six. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
And the purple helmeted pirates.
The one-eyed purple helmet pirates.
Oh, my goodness. Only 4.4% of the kids who ever appeared on the show won something.
It's a good recap.
For everybody else, it was an experience.
Yep. So Duck Hunt.
Yeah, I think they won Duck Hunt at the end.
For Duck Hunt, I mean, there were ways to play both of these games without honor. I mean,
yes, of course.
Track meet, you used your hands on the pad like a coward, like a vagrant. Whereas Duck Hunt, there were two ways to cheat. One is you just put the gun up to the TV screen and you just followed the duck around instead of like playing at an acceptable distance. And the other was you could point the gun at a light, apparently. And
that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and just because of how the gun worked and how it calculated, you know, where the duck was, if you just pointed it at a light, it screwed up the controller.
No, I did some research into the operations of said light gun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I read that they, I don't know if this was maybe a later model or an update of some kind, but like the way it flashed, like you couldn't just hold it up to a light. Have you guys tried this method, or?
I've never tried, but this is all I've read is that you cheat by putting it up to a light.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just read about it on the internet.
This might be the Pop Rocks and Soda of video game legend.
Listen, it was on the internet. I don't think they put lies on the internet.
But my internet sources said the opposite. So who do we, oh, do we trust?
I've been trumped. Damn you.
Can't stop. But it was like if you pulled the trigger, like the light would flash like in less amount of time than it took to pull the trigger. So just holding it up to the light wouldn't work because it would be a constant source. So it had to detect that change.
Okay.
This is what I read. I don't know.
Okay.
I know. Well, isn't the
If it does detect that change, then, you know, props to Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't the other issue nowadays is that it's tough to find TVs that the game will work on?
I don't know.
Yeah, from what I hear, you need a good old cathode ray tube TV to do it.
Yeah, that would make sense because it's more projecting. It was projecting the light.
You need those electrons shooting at your gun while you shoot at them.
Yeah. I mean, I could still play because, actually, I can't because my NES is a, you know, I haven't hooked that up in like 10 years. I'm sure that's broken. But
dude, you're going to have to, you're going to have to blow on that cartridge for like 10 minutes to get it to work.
I'm doing no such thing. I mean,
in front of a fan.
I really should buy like a retcon or something that would let me play some of my old NES games. You know,
like those new systems that you can actually play NES games on.
Yeah, the ones that actually work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only that, I think they sell the multi-cart systems now where you can have like a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, and a Sega all in one.
Yeah, yeah, that's what a retcon is, I think.
Oh, I need to get one of those. Need to get me. It's
blasphemous.
I need to get me.
I do still have one actual tube TV.
Sorry. Now.
Inside the Heelhauser abode?
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh,
much like Steven was looking at his power pad.
If we should arrange a date for those two.
Well, yeah.
Could play some power pad, race each other.
After me and Todd's dance off, we'll have a power pad night.
Hey, Huel, I'm a car, you're a car, let's race.
Let's race.
Oh, and sorry, I was mistaken. It is the Retron 5. And it has plays Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Famicom, Super Famicom, NES, SNES.
How many slots does this thing have?
Well, the issue is they're just calling different Nintendo systems by their Japanese and American names.
Right, but how can it play Game Boy and like Nintendo? That makes no sense.
Well, they're probably
put a hot dog in a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Unless it had like that Super Game Boy cartridge that you could plug Game Boy games into the Super NES.
Well, I mean, at this point, all of these systems have kind of been reverse engineered, and it's not.
I'm just talking about the physics.
Dude, you got to describe this in detail for the listening audience. So, the listeners are holding a Link's Awakening cartridge in their hand. They're like, how's this thing going to fit inside a Nintendo slot?
Well, the thing is, guys, you can just have multiple slots on the machine.
So you got the front door and the back door.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was asking. How many slots does this thing have?
Oh, it's got a lot of slots.
I'm reading here that they're describing, they're not slots, they're gashes.
Oh, God.
Let's not get crude.
Oh, jeez.
Treat the Retron 5 with respect, Todd. And it'll treat
gotta
you take with
it
respect.
Gotta take it out a few times first.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta buy it some dinner. You gotta get it a copy of Super Breakout.
Gotta ask how many siblings it has.
Yeah. Gotta, you know.
What are your dreams?
Yeah, you gotta give it some Pokemon.
What was your favorite subject in school? Famicom?
I'll have to link to one of these. The Retron 5 plays, it also plays Genesis and Mega Drive. It's about $160. And also, by the way, it does not really look that appealing. So
no, it does not.
It basically looks like, I don't know, a black square. It looks like an Xbox, but worse.
That's saying something.
Yeah, I don't think the Xbox looks all that appealing. So, no, but there are a bunch of like fake NESs out there too now, because I believe Nintendo's patent on it ran out. So now there's just like a ton of companies that sell NESs.
Oh, I'm looking at it. It is terrible.
The Retron?
Yeah. The controller alone looks horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah, it looks worse than any Mad Catz device ever created.
Well, one of the selling points is I believe it does have pin connectors so that you can use any controller. Like it has a slot for SNES controllers, for Genesis controllers, and also for like, you know, if you want to plug in a USB there.
Oh, okay.
More slots than I could ever imagine.
Plug all my holes.
Now, in contrast, there's another good article here that has a bunch of different NES clones. You can, if anyone has watched like the Angry Video Game Nerd, like he has an NES that looks like a toaster. There's just like straight up it's not Nintendo that makes them, but they just straight up do the same kind of boxes, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I like this first one.
This next one is only $20, which is, you know, quite a steal to get a working NES.
This top one has an analog stick.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not a fan.
No. You gotta feel those directionals on
Nintendo. I gotta be able to push left. I don't want to feel left. I want to push left.
Well, speaking of like other Nintendo accessories, I had the NES Advantage, which was their big joystick thing.
Oh yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, and that you could actually do like diagonals much easier than the proper controller.
Oh man, I thought it was terrible.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's like it's like this big plastic shell that goes over top the normal controller, and it just makes the buttons bigger.
Oh.
Is that what it is?
The Advantage?
Yeah, it's like this weird overlay on top of the normal controller.
Well, I don't know if maybe that's what its actual guts were.
Well, yeah.
But that would make sense looking at it, but...
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
You might be. Like, the NES Advantage is like a proper joystick-looking thing.
Oh, I see it, yeah. Maybe I didn't have that. I might have had the third-rate terrible ripoff version.
Oh yeah.
Now, why would you? So, I mean, good for you for having it. But why? The only benefit I've ever seen of the NES Advantage is that it has those turbo buttons. Mm. I can't play my Mario's on a joystick.
I need my thumbs.
Oh, I could play plenty of my Mario's on it.
I've trained my thumbs to react, not my index fingers.
You know why I wanted the NES Advantage, Todd Brisket?
Why is that?
Because it controlled the Statue of Liberty in Ghostbusters 2.
What?
Yeah. You guys don't remember that?
I don't remember that at all. I just remember the goo.
Well, yeah. I mean...
So is that the only way you can control it?
What? I don't think he's talking about the game.
Yeah, are you talking about the goo or about the...
Oh, you're talking about the movie.
In the movie itself.
Oh,
they had the okay. NES Advantage.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what they used to control the Statue of Liberty. They had access to all of New York City's technology, and they decided to go with a controller for a video game system that originally came out in 1983.
It's ahead of its time. There's more computational power inside that NES Advantage than all of NASA control center when they went to the moon. That's what they say, right?
That's actually more believable than Jeff Goldblum uploading a virus to the alien ship in Independence Day. Similar, but more believable.
On a Macintosh, wasn't he?
I don't know. No, I think it was just some like huge, thick, original Windows laptop sort of thing.
Oh, I think it was like an Apple in the movie, which was...
They didn't have Apple laptops.
I remember it being a Macintosh.
Yeah. They had MacBooks in 96?
No, I think it was just like the Mac OS operating system. I kind of remember because at the time I was like, who the frig has Apple? What kind of madman has a Macintosh? Because that was when Apple was, you know, they'd hit a bit of a problem.
They weren't always on top.
No, they were not. So yeah, Duck Hunt. Well, I also did have a little bit about Duck Hunt here.
Sure.
Both these games did sell well technically because they were pack-ins, but Nintendo never really went back to the well exactly with either. Like, there's no Duck Hunt 2. There's no World Class Track Meet 2. There was a Bazooka release for the Super Nintendo, with the best game being Battle Clash, which was a bright, colorful 1990s-ish game in every respect. Did you guys ever play Battle Clash?
I don't think so.
No, just seen videos. I kind of fell off all peripherals for gaming systems until Kinect or maybe Dance Dance Revolution. I put my feet on that one time or two.
Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah. Guitar Hero. Yeah.
That was the Renaissance.
That was the Renaissance. Yeah.
I never played Battle Clash with the Bazooker. yes, but I did play on an emulator with a mouse. It is actually kind of fun. Like, it's just kind of like a point and click shoot 'em up game. So that was kind of fun. I can't imagine, like, it seems like it would be tougher to play with the light gun.
I never saw the Bazooka in person, but I just remember seeing pictures of it and just being, like, blown away that it even existed.
Same thing. And I also realized there's no way my parents would ever buy it for me.
Yeah.
Like,
is that the only game the big one worked with?
I think there were six games.
What?
Yeah, for the Super Scope.
Super Scope, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what it's called. Well, it got Nintendo in hot water because and I'm not talking about a jacuzzi. Because they went to the congressional hearings on Mortal Kombat. you know, that kind of thing, and they were basically, you know, just crapping on Sega the entire time. The guy from Sega pulled out the Super Scope and said, "Oh, by the way, this is what Nintendo's selling at stores."
Friggin' Bazooka.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you for the original Zapper in America, it is a futuristic laser blaster, orange and white gun. But in Japan, it is actually a black revolver.
Yeah. I mean, even I have one of the original Zappers, which is gray. So even that, like eventually authorities kind of made them change it to like a bright orange deer hunter kind of color.
Oh, the original was like completely gray?
Yeah, it's pretty much 75% gray, and I think it, like, the top of it is white, kind of.
Yeah, I just remember the orange or red one. It had like the red barrel.
Yeah, that's the one they.
It's a classic.
That's the one they. It must have been after 89 because I have the, you know, the NES that we had was the one with Track Me, and Duck Hunt on a 3-for-1 cart, and you know we have the Gray Zapper. So, other Super Scope games, which by the way I don't even know how some of these would work. We have Bazooka Blitzkrieg. The Hunt for the Red October is somehow...
What?
I mean, maybe it's a Periscope game. But but then we have Lamborghini American Challenge is a Super Scope game somehow. Yep, Super Scope 6, which is the pack-in game. It's got like a mole hunting game and some couple shooting games. None of them are very good. Metal Combat Falcon's Revenge, which is the sequel to Battle Clash, which is, it's kind of bizarre that they would even have a sequel for that game. T2, the arcade game, something called Tin Star, X-Zone, which I actually own, and it's not good, and Yoshi's Safari. So, a wide, wide, wide range of games. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11. Good times with the old Super Scope. Without Nintendo developed releases, both the Zapper and Power Pad, they weren't really used much. The second best Zapper game is probably something like Hogan's Alley or Operation Wolf, neither of which sold super well. And like I said earlier, there's only six Power Pad games, and TrackMeet is the only one that's kind of popular. So.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, and also, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the original game, World Class Track Meet, is actually something called Stadium Events by Bandai. When Nintendo rebranded it, they bought up as many copies of Stadium Events as they can and destroyed them. As a result, it's speculated only about 200 of them got out into the wild. And recently, if you have the box and the manual, they go for around $30,000 for Stadium Events.
Mm-hmm. That's just absurd.
It's pretty much the same exact game. So, if you find that, clean out the attic. Like that guy who was cleaning out his attic, then he found the prototype of the Super Nintendo Sony PlayStation. Just hold on to it. It might be worth something. Good times. Well, Todd, did you have anything you wanted to say about either one of these games here?
Not really. I mean, they're okay. I would give them half a DuckTale each.
I feel like that's appropriate. I mean,
they're kind of generous.
They're quirky. They're quirky.
Yes.
They're the original Wii Sports. I mean, we made the Wii Sports comparison before, but they're showcasing these strange peripherals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd argue that they don't have a lot of replay value, but they are pretty impressive for the time. Duck Hunt came out in 1985. Well, 1985 in North America. I think it was 1984 in Japan. So, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'd say the Duck Hunt and the Zapper is impressive, but the Power Pad's just a big controller.
Yeah, that is true.
It's still just buttons.
Yeah, it's a big plastic controller you just run on. Man,
you're just connecting wires. That's all you're doing with your feet. Connecting wires with your feet.
Zeros and ones, man.
Zeros and ones, man. It's all in there. It's all in the matrix.
Man, when you put it that way, I feel so insignificant.
I feel cheated.
Oh, God. What has my life become?
Sorry. I'm sorry to do this to you.
Anyway, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No. Just get on your knees and pound away.
That's sound advice that your grandfather gave you once in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Still goes for today.
It holds true, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, on that note, let's move right along to the emails here. Todd, did you have any emails this week?
Yes, I did. I got one from Constant Writer Butterscoot24.
Oh. Oh, boy.
It's kind of a long one, so.
This is unusual for Butterscoot, having a long email.
Yeah, here it is. It's actually addressed to Huel Hauser.
Hmm. All right.
Huel, it has been decided that you will be dressed as a priest to help you get away in the pandemonium afterwards. You will receive a two-piece Soviet Army sniper's rifle that fits nicely into a special bag. There's a spotlight booth that won't be in use. It's up under the roof on the 8th Avenue side of the garden. You will have absolutely clear, protected shooting. You are to shoot the presidential nominee through the head. And Trump will rise gallantly to his feet and lift Hillary Clinton's body in his arms. Stand in front of the microphones and begin to speak. The speech is short, but it's the most rousing speech I've ever heard. It's been worked on here and in Russia, on and off, for over 8 years. I shall force someone to take the body away from him, and Trump will really hit those microphones and those cameras with blood all over him, fighting off anyone who tries to help him, defending America, even if it means his own death, rallying a nation of television viewers to hysteria, to sweep us up into the White House with powers that will make martial law seem like anarchy. Now, this is very important. I want the nominee to be dead in two minutes after she begins her acceptance speech, depending on her reading time under pressure. You are to hit her right at the point that she finishes the phrase, "Nor would I ask of any fellow American in defense of his freedom that which I would not gladly give myself, my life before my liberty." Is that absolutely clear? I know you will never entirely comprehend this, Huell, but you must believe I did not know it would be you. I served them. I fought for them. I'm on the point of winning for them the greatest foothold they will ever have in this country, and they paid me back by taking your soul away from you. I told them to build me an assassin. I wanted a killer from a world filled with killers, and they chose you because they thought it would bind me closer to them. But now we have come almost to the end. One last step, and then, when I take power, they will be pulled down and ground into dirt for what they did to you, and what they did in so contemptuously underestimating me. Sincerely, Butterscoot 24. P.S. What is your favorite class to play as in first-person shooters?
Oh, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right that I did not fully comprehend all of it. I can only assume this will be absorbed to be activated later.
At some point in the future, yeah.
Yeah, at some point. It was very specific. Mm-hmm. Lots of that.
But, you know, he had a good ask. A good ask.
Are there classes in first-person shooters?
Yeah, if you think of a game like Team Fortress, you got classes there. You got your sniper. You got your soldier with the rocket launcher.
Hipster.
You got the grenadier. You got the grenadier, you got the old scouty.
I guess,
jumping around with his pistols.
I guess it could also extend to what weapons do you like to use?
What's your specialty? Are you a sniper? Are you a pistol man? Are you a close combat? I'm thinking of it more in like GoldenEye terms.
Yeah, that's you could take it in those terms. They got they got sniper rifles, they got
weapons.
They
sets.
Got pistols. They got grenades,
power weapons. You got proximity mines,
remote mines.
Now, me personally,
please,
in my own humble opinion, which is also correct when I'm talking about myself, and when I say this, it is of my own opinion, but also applies to a few people out there. I like pulling out the old grenade launcher. That's my jam. That's my jam, son.
I feel like that's like cheating.
How is it cheating? You got to hit that arc right. You got to launch. You got to predict.
Whatever, it just explodes.
You got to
predict
where
it dies.
No, that you're thinking about grenades in real life. I'm talking about grenades in video games.
Oh, sorry.
It is a close, concentrated area.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It has to land like right at their feet. And you have to hit that arc. You have to shoot not where they are. You have to shoot where they're going to.
It's
a metaphor for life.
I feel like in an FPS, I like the shotguns because I like to get in close. I like to see my enemy's eyes as I take his life from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the power, just feeling that kickback, plugging that rumble pack, feel it go.
Good times.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of gravitate towards assault rifles.
Oh, the old standard. It's what grandma uses. Yep.
Yeah.
Pappy told me.
Old Pappy.
Yeah.
When he picks up the games for the first time, he starts out with the old assault rifle. Yeah.
I do feel like they are kind of they're a little underpowered in most games now. Like for some reason, pistols are more powerful than assault rifles. Although
it is weird. They do overbalance these weapons. I feel like it started
in Halo. Like for some reason in Halo, like the pistol was like the best weapon.
Yeah. Or the melee weapons, where now in first person shooters, any melee weapon is immediate one hit kill.
Well, that shit was from Halo too, or also.
Yeah. Well, Mass Effect 3, they kind of do their best to balance the pros and cons of each weapons. But even then, like assault rifles are a little underpowered as compared to pistols, sniper rifles, and shotguns. So
it's weird. You would think a constant stream of bullets, like practically cutting the entire area in half, is not as strong as just somebody hitting you with a pistol a few times.
Yeah,
I think it's that balance where it's like each individual bullet from the rifle is going to be weaker than like a pistol shot because they're kind of rewarding accuracy.
Mm-hmm. No, and
I guess
I don't know, some of the pistols. Yes, it would make sense to me if there was a delay between shots, like as if, oh, it takes more energy to shoot this weapon, therefore it's more powerful. But a lot of times, no, it's not. Like the rate of fire, they're semi-automatic, kind of.
Pretty much, yeah.
It doesn't matter. They're still more powerful than a fully auto rifle that you got on you. So.
Well, your proclivities just line up with your nickname, Steve Spray and Pray Greenwell.
What was my nickname again?
Steve Spray and Pray Greenwell.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
I kind of fumbled.
I mean, you got that name on the basketball court, right?
Yeah, Steve.
And in the locker room.
I had my own follow-up, but that one was better.
Yeah. Well, it's also, yeah, that's why I'm known for my dribbling as well.
So. Oh, God!
So. Huel, did you get any emails this week?
This episode's TV-14 for dialogue. I did receive an email, and it is from fellow frequent writer, ScooterUp42.
Oh, Scooty.
Oh.
Scooty typed away saying, "Wow, great episode on the Simpsons games. Some of those games sounded truly terrible. Hearing about those games reminded me of my old friend O.J. Simpson, who the people of California decided was framed by the police. I don't understand why finding a knife buried on his estate would mean anything. People bury knives all the time. Mm-hmm. And the potential DNA tests. How can we really trust a scientist? Speaking of being misunderstood, what games do you think got a bad rap but were actually pretty great? Sincerely, ScooterButt42."
Oh. That's a great ask. Great ask.
Yeah. It might take some thinking power.
I would have to look up a list, you know.
Yeah.
I do kind of fall in line with the general consensus of the masses when it comes to video game standards.
True. Yeah. Todd usually just defaults to whatever is popular.
Yeah. That's why I love Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Todd's a follower, man. He's not
never,
rebel.
Never once have I heard original thought from that guy.
Yeah, man.
Steven, anything?
I kind of like the DJ Hero games. But
Yeah.
There was multiple?
Yeah, there was a second one.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they made it peripheral, so they got to have at least two games, right?
Yeah.
Commitment.
Apparently, this is just the
except the Zapper.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I don't think it works for any other games besides those two.
I don't see how it could.
Yeah, there might be one other DJ game, and I don't have it. So, but also I don't know if that qualifies because I think those games were well reviewed. It's just that nobody bought them.
Mm-hmm.
Like even I got like I think it was DJ Hero and the turntable, and I think it was like $25 already because nobody was buying them.
Right.
Nowadays, you know, it costs more to ship it than to actually buy it. I don't know. I guess The closest thing I would say would be another PlayStation 3 game, which is I kind of liked the last of Final Fantasy 13.
Was that badly reviewed, though? I think it was just, okay, it's a Final Fantasy game. It's okay.
Yeah, it kind of, I don't know. I think it got like kind of like 70s, 60s from people. And it was just kind of like, it's all right. Like, I think people were fatigued on the series by that point. I mean, I can't really blame them. They milked three games out of one game. It's like the Hobbit of video games.
Oh boy.
but no, the last game does have some kind of neat mechanics that I'd like to see introduced into a proper game that was had a little more TLC put into it. Like in the third installment of Final Fantasy 13, it has concepts like you only have five, I think it's seven game days to beat it, otherwise the game just ends. And it also has, because it deals with the idea that the world is ending, you can actually extinct monsters. Like there's a finite amount of of trolls in the game, for example. And if you extinct all of the trolls, you get like a stat bonus. So
it just sounds like Majora's Mask.
I've never played that, so maybe they stole it from Majora's Mask.
Except for in Majora's Mask, you can reset.
Well, that's what. I was thinking the time limit kind of thing.
Yeah.
This
game, it you technically don't lose. It does kind of set it up to be like a time loop, where if you don't get done what you need to, you go back to the first day with all of your stuff, or at least with all of your stats. I don't know. I actually didn't find the game to be that tricky. Like as long as you kind of know what you're doing. So, like I was able to beat it the first time through.
Oh, look at this guy!
I know, guys. So I guess that would be my pick for underrated game that I kind of liked.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't think of a single one except for I'm just looking up a list here and I found one that I know Huel loves. Little gym called Shaq Fu.
Well, I mean, that's the world is wrong on that game. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about this a bit since I did receive the email earlier. And I don't know if it's a bad rap or maybe just something people forget, but I think the Turok games were really good. They're kind of forgotten gems, I would say.
Yeah, I would say they're not. I mean, obviously, GoldenEye takes the cake when it comes to shooters on the old Nintendo 64.
N64.
But Turok wasn't
gaming
that bad. Yeah.
System.
It was Turok was a fun multiplayer game too.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of broke open or continued the multiplayer FPS trend and had unique controls, I would say. Because I think it was the first game to use the C buttons for movement, and you would actually aim with the stick. And before it was opposite, like with GoldenEye, you'd be moving with the stick and aiming with the buttons. And I think that really that made more sense because the directional C buttons. I mean, you're either going forward or you're not. So then you would use the analog stick to aim, and it was more precise. So I think those controls, combined with like unique weapons and the fun multiplayer, made the Turok games pretty fun. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I think they're just more forgotten about than really not reviewed well or thought of well.
Yeah. Well, I think it probably hurts that that first game, which is probably the best, is that they just kept churning out sequels, and not all of them were good.
Well, two and three weren't. I mean, two was pretty good. I mean, three was okay, but it wasn't horrible. But maybe they just made them too quickly. I don't know.
I feel like if you just made that one, and that was it, it would be remembered much better.
I could see that.
Apparently, there's Turok the Dinosaur Hunter, Turok 2: Seeds of Evil, Turok Rage Wars.
That was a purely multiplayer game.
Race Wars?
Yes.
Rage Wars, just so we're clear. No letters, please. Turok 3 Shadow of Oblivion, which is not based on the Elder Scrolls.
True.
Turok Evolution, which somehow was released for the PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, and the Game Boy Advance. So I'm sure that was a splendid game.
Game Boy Advance one must have been awful.
And then there was a series reboot in 2008 called Turok, which it couldn't have been that good since it did not actually reboot it, it looks like.
Just kind of stalled it.
The reviews from Metacritic were 69, 67, 65 out of 100 for the 360, PS3, and PC.
Meh.
My favorite thing about the Turok games is when I was a young boy, I like to call them Turco. I like to swap those letters.
Wow. That is
Turco the dinosaur gold. Hunter.
Comedy gold.
Yeah.
When do you think Turco the dinosaur hunter will be in a Smash Brothers game? fighting Mario.
Pretty sure it's only a matter of time.
Fighting Wario.
They're Turco Wario. Run out of characters eventually.
I feel like that's now that I think about it, he should be in a Mario game.
That's what I mean. Like, he's more forgotten.
Yeah, I mean the reboot didn't even come out on a Nintendo system. That just seems wrong.
Well, I think it was a rare developed game, I think.
Was that a rare joint?
I might be talking out of my ass, but
you are. It is
Acclaim?
Published by Acclaim.
Oh, there we are.
It was developed by Iguana Entertainment. Which is now Todd Brisket.
Oh.
It is now Acclaim Studios Austin.
Oh my.
So you can go down there this weekend.
Knock on their door.
Get this settled out.
Start peering in the windows.
Excuse me, is this Acclaim Studios Austin, formerly known as Iguana Entertainment, that made Turco the Dinosaur Hunter?
Mm-hmm. Are there more Dinosaur Hunter games in development?
And when are you going to add this guy into the Smash Brothers so I can fight with Wario?
Is there a development deal to insert Turco into the Smash Brothers roster?
Now, there's just one problem with this that I did not notice, which is that it closed in September
1st. I had a strange feeling, but I didn't want to.
It closed September 1st, 2004.
Just missed it by 12 years.
September 10th, 2001. I don't know why, because they have such a strong string of games like South Park Chef's Love Shack, All-Star Baseball, Showdown Legends of Wrestling was their final game, which I've played, and it was just an okay wrestling game. It wasn't as good as SmackDown versus Raw, that series.
Was Legends of Wrestling the one where it was like people that weren't signed to WWF at the time?
No, it was a kind of like super arcadey kind of version of wrestling, and it only had classic wrestlers in it.
Right.
I see that the cover has like all dead people on it. It has
it's like Macho Man,
Ultimate Warrior.
Well, he was alive.
Jake the Snake, he's practically dead, and Hulk Hogan,
who's dead to humans everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it was the last game released by Acclaim Entertainment before their bankruptcy. Wow, I didn't even realize all of Acclaim went bankrupt. My God.
Oh, yeah, I guess I just kind of didn't notice.
Oh, yeah, 2004, it all went down.
I'm sure, I don't know, they were making so many wonderful games, like Chef's Love Shack. although it was purchased by Acclaim Games, but Canadian video game publisher Throwback Entertainment acquired more than 150 titles from Acclaim's video game library. So, good times. And a Korean company owns some of the other assets there. Well, I received one email this week, guys.
Oh.
Hey, guys, really love the show. Can I be a guest on it at some point? I hope you ask me about my favorite Mario Kart characters. Also, what's your favorite Back to the Future movie? Sincerely, Matty Boy.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Huh.
Well,
Back to the
I hope
future.
We can accommodate Matty.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be great to have him on.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's technically not a gaming question, but, you know, I do like... I mean,
is he asking about the video game or the movie? I forgot.
No, he specifically says movies.
Oh, okay. There was a Back to the Future Telltale, right?
There was a Telltale, and there's also a couple of NES games.
Yeah, I've heard the Telltale game is supposed to be really good.
I heard it was supposed to be really okay.
Super okay.
Super, like right in the middle.
Well, I don't know. Is it just a game of the movie, or is it something else?
No idea. It's been sitting in my Steam library for years now.
It's probably like an original story inspired by the characters. One of those deals.
I must admit that I have like chapter one of it or part one of it was a PlayStation Plus freebie
right.
Literally years ago, and I have not played it.
Y'all got one of them Telltale games?
I'll just see it on my list of games and just be like, eh, not today.
Let's pass it over.
Yeah. No, when it comes to Back to the Future, I go the order in which God released them, which would be 1, 2, mm-hmm. 3.
Absolutely.
That is the accepted way. However,
do not even tell me 2 is better.
However,
do not say those words.
Here's what I'm going to say, guys.
Don't tell listen me 3 is better.
Listen to me when I say this, all right? Listen to me when I say this.
My ears are right now wide open and ready for your words.
I will give you 1 is the best movie when it comes to being a movie that you watch. However, I have some nostalgia for 2. Like I just love the futuristic stuff they put in there.
Okay.
Now is your favorite part when you find out that Marty's dad is dead, or that Biff has turned Marty's mom into a whore? Which part is your favorite?
Which is the one that has the hoverboard in it?
2.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, it's just all hoverboards.
It's all he cares about.
Clearly.
What can I get? What is a white man? What can I buy and consume? That's all he cares about.
Mm-hmm. Material goods. I don't care about storytelling. I don't care about family.
Mm-hmm. I care about who wins or loses.
I care about the future.
Jaws 8 3D.
Now this may be a Damashek point. I can't remember if he came up with this or if this was actually an original thought on my own. So, Back to the Future 1.
This might be my point, but please continue.
Back to the Future 1. How does Biff end up being like their house man? Their guy around the house.
When he goes back to the future?
Yeah, he tried to rape Lorraine, and they just have him hanging around the house, like doing work on the car.
Here's
like,
my thought. You bring up the attempted R, and I think it's because they didn't press charges on him.
It was a different time.
They have this hanging over him.
It's,
you know, it's like, well, we could go to the police, but you could be washing my car.
Slave.
Yep. It's like, well, you could wash my car, or I could just tell Officer Stevens about the little incident. And I think it just kind of snowballed throughout decades.
Go get me a beer, slave.
It's like that. It's like that episode of Seinfeld where Seinfeld gets into a car accident and then a guy has to become his butler. Once again,
this is happening in every sitcom, right? This happens in every sitcom. Yeah. Oh, you saved my life. Now I have to serve you until the it is repaid.
Yeah, they call that genie rules.
But he's my butler.
What? Once again, that is a show pitched on a show that I would have rather have seen than many other shows.
Jerry.
Yeah, man, we gotta. There's got to be a site that has a list of those.
And you want to be my latex salesman.
Oh. All right. Well, that's I think that's as good a time as any to end it on.
Great Duck Hunt
reference. Brisket, do you have anything else you want to add here tonight?
I feel sorry for apologies to Rob the Robo. I know you're feeling like a real third wheel right now, but, you know, we'll get to you.
We probably won't, because those things cost like $1 million now. So I've never seen one, unfortunately. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
If John Wick's dog was the Duck Hunt dog, then that movie would never have worked.
I've never seen that movie. I don't even get that reference, man.
Someone will understand.
You're blowing my mind. All right, well, that's all we have for this week. Here's a snifferoo from next week's episode.